Hello and welcome to the Friday edition of KETR's Locker Room. Your three hosts here with you as normal, Cooper Welch, Ryan Phillips, and Taylor Phelps. This week, we've already talked a lot about NBA playoffs, and you saw the results as of Tuesday night. All the series were tied up 1-1. Pretty insane stuff going on. Excuse me, Wednesday night. And now, we're going to talk some other stuff. We don't want to talk too much NBA playoffs. So this Friday segment, we're going to talk a very controversial subject that just recently come up from a website called Deadspin. They published an article that says 40 out of the 50 states here in the United States, the highest paid state employee is a coach. And then we're going to cover Rangers baseball because we like to do that on the Friday segment, get you all caught up on what's going on. So first, guys, a controversial topic. As I said, 40 out of 50 states, according to Deadspin, the highest paid state employee is a coach. What do you guys think about that?
It's not really surprising to me, to be honest with you. That's kind of the way our country has gone as far as sports as goes. Think about it. You have the NFL where, obviously these coaches are not NFL coaches, but you have the NFL where the minimum salary is millions of dollars.
Yes.
And so these players are making tons and tons of money. Not really a surprise at all to see a sports type figure being the highest paid. NFL doesn't count here. These are all college. What is surprising, however, is the highest paid coach in Texas, or the highest paid anybody in Texas, is Mac Brown. And yes, it's kind of amusing to me because Mac Brown's someone who we all see as someone who probably won't have their job for much longer. Really since Colt McCoy, that team has done absolutely nothing. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's keep in mind, too, that these are state employees, and we're not considering NFL coaches. We're only considering... Or even private schools in Texas. So SMU, TCU, those types of schools are not included. Baylor.
Yeah.
I don't think it would matter. I think Mac Brown probably gets
But Mac Brown is probably still paid higher than all of them.
But he's probably not paid higher than the president of Baylor.
Right, right.
And the question is, should they be paid as high and higher than our educators, the people who are running the actual school?
Yeah.
And in a few of these states, they're not.
Yeah.
I think the 10 that are not is Alaska, Nevada, Montana, North and South Dakota, New York, Delaware, Massachusetts, Maine, and Vermont.
Yeah, let's cover what each of those states are. Alaska, it's a college president, according to Deadspin. In Nevada, here's a really good one. It's a med school plastic surgeon, not a chairman, not a president, not a dean of a college or anything. It's a plastic surgeon.
I would really be interested to see who that is.
That doesn't really surprise me, though, does it?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense. You'd think it'd be more in California, though, than Nevada.
Yeah.
Let's see. In Montana, it's a college president. In North and South Dakota, it's the med school dean. In New York, it is the med school department chair, college president in Vermont. In Maine, it's a law school dean. I'm getting a good refresher on my geography. In Massachusetts, it's the med school chancellor. And in Delaware, it's the college president.
And don't you think it would be these – don't you think all around the board, especially in some of these big college – like UT –
yeah.
Wouldn't you think that the college president of UT would make more than Mac Brown?
Yeah.
Does that surprise y'all?
It surprises me a little bit.
But sports brings in so much money to these schools.
And not just focus on how much money they bring into the schools. They also bring in revenue to the state. Because, you know, they have TV deals here, and all this revenue is going back to the state, like the college revenue. And while it supports its own school, it also supports the state. So you're not just paying your taxes to go directly to the University of Texas football team.
Yeah.
They're generating their own revenue to be able to run themselves and pay their coaches, but they're also bringing, there's a huge game in Texas against Oklahoma. Well, think of all the revenue that brings to the city of Dallas when they meet when they meet every year and play.
It's one of the big things of the state fair, too.
Exactly. Just big state fair events. So these sports, there's a reason that football coach is paid so much. And as you were saying, Cooper, earlier before we even started, they're getting a lot of endorsement deals, too. This isn't just money coming directly from the state.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about what you said, how schools are making so much money off of the athletic department. According to this Deadspin article, now, I'm not going to vouch for this guy's financial wizardry or anything like that. This is obviously a journalist. He's not a you know, mathematician or CPA or anything like that. But according to his research, 99 surveyed schools in the country lose an average of $5 million a year to athletics when student fees and university subsidies are removed. Now, student fees and university subsidies are a pretty large portion of profit.
Oh, student fees
and that's still going to the state. So I'm not really sure why he took that out.
Well, we talked about it. We've talked about it on past episodes.
Right.
How most D1 football programs or most D1 schools don't bring in, they actually lose money with their athletic department.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's not really, I mean, that's not really a surprise to me. It's these big schools like UT that their football program and their student fees bring in
only schools
so
like UT, Notre Dame, Penn State, Alabama. These are the only type of schools that are actually gaining revenue. And also football pays for a lot of their other sports.
Yeah, that's a lot of these sports are losing money to other sports that don't bring in like track.
Track and field is not bringing in money. The swim team's not bringing
volleyball.
In money. Volleyball is not bringing in as much money. Mm-hmm. It's usually basketball and football that are the ones creating revenue.
Right.
And as you see on this map, they're the ones that are being paid the highest, those coaches. And you can all it's actually interesting to look at because the good football schools, they're the ones with the highest paid football coach, and the states that have good basketball teams, they're the ones with the highest basketball coach.
Now, the surprising thing for me out of all this, I think the biggest surprise is California. You'd think it'd be USC, great football traditions, and UCLA even has Cal. All three of those schools, Stanford. All those schools have great football traditions, especially recently. But a basketball coach is the highest paid state employee in California. I'm going to guess that it was the UCLA coach who just recently got fired.
And if you yes, I believe it was him. And if you think about it, too, though, California's won more national championships in basketball than they have in football with John Wooden winning, I think it's 10 or 11.
Yeah.
They won another one with someone else. And then University of San Francisco back in the day with Bill Russell won two.
Yeah.
So really their state has been more of a basketball as far from a winning standpoint, they've won more in basketball than football, but you're right. Football has been the focal point, it seems like, in California as of late. So it's kind of different that we look at that and see that basketball was the one on the list.
Well, what's your guys' biggest surprise off of this map of who's the highest paid employee? Like, we can't see the names of these employees, except we know Mack Brown, obviously, is the biggest player.
For me, and it's not a surprise when you really think about it, but for me, it's that a hockey coach is the highest paid...
In New Hampshire?
In New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Not that... And sometimes it's easy to... Because hockey's here
in
Texas...
And it's a smaller state.
Hockey here in Texas is not a big deal at all. But you think about New Hampshire, they don't really have any football or basketball powerhouses or anything like that. And hockey is huge up north.
Oh, yeah.
Huge up north.
As we heard from Linda Cohn when she was on the
absolutely. Hockey is huge, so it's actually not really a surprise, but it kind of caught me off guard when I first saw it.
Right. Yeah, I was kind of like, all right, basketball, football, that makes sense. And then hockey. Now, not that hockey's not a great sport, but I would have thought, you know, like a softball or a baseball coach would have come before a hockey team. But maybe that's just for New Hampshire. You know, maybe like in New York, maybe the second highest played person is a baseball coach. You never know, like, who's the second or the third.
But college baseball is not as big as basketball and football around the country. So
yeah, and we haven't even talked about college baseball on the show yet.
No, we have. It's just not a topic that...
Because most players, when they're good enough out of high school, they go to the minor league so they can work their way up. College baseball is not... a very popular sport on ESPN. You never see it played. The only real college sports that are popular are basketball and football.
Right.
And that's because most of the best players are still going there. And we've talked about that before, too. What's going to happen to college basketball they have to go. They're forced to go.
Yeah.
I think the biggest surprise to me would be Florida in basketball.
Yeah, because Florida has Florida State and Miami.
All three powerhouse programs. But I am under the speculation that basketball coach is Billy Donovan who has won two national championships at Florida.
And played in a bunch.
And played. And so when I look at that, I say, Okay, well, that makes a little more sense. Mm-hmm. Plus, he's
been there.
I'm
sure 2, 3, and 4 are all football coaches.
Yes, and it's the duration of the time you've been there. Like, he's been there longer than any of the coaches have at Florida, Florida State, and Miami for football.
Yeah.
So I think that's how some of the statistics here are skewed a little bit. But you have obvious ones, like North Carolina is going to be basketball. You have North Carolina and Duke and Wake Forest. Kentucky and Indiana, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Ohio is football, that's a no-brainer. And Alabama football. But as far as the rest of them go, some of them are just kind of random. You wouldn't even think it.
Yeah, like New Mexico, the biggest sport to watch, and I know this because my mom's from New Mexico, and we go there a lot. The biggest sport to watch in New Mexico, if you're not a Broncos fan or a Cardinals fan or anything like that, you're a New Mexico Lobos basketball team fan.
Yes.
Not their football team, not anything else. You are a New Mexico Lobos basketball team. But their football coach is the highest paid state employee there. Now, that doesn't make sense for me.
Maybe that's them trying to make a push
maybe
for football to become more of a priority because they know how much it can bring in.
But the Lobos football team has been so terrible the past 10, 20 seasons that you kind of wonder why they even have a football program sometimes.
And Idaho is a football state. That was,
well,
Boise State, that's probably him that's there. But also Arizona is a basketball. Mm-hmm. I guess you do have the Wildcats there, so I guess that's big. But some of these states you don't really associate with a particular sport like you would an Indiana, Kentucky, North Carolina, Mississippi.
Or a Texas.
Alabama, Texas.
Yeah.
States like that. But just for those two to be have football and basketball coaches as the highest paid state employee, even with you don't associate the state with a particular sport, is pretty impressive, especially New York.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think there'd be a bigger university in New York that would really make a push for national championships, but besides Syracuse, Jim Boeheim, there's really not.
Yeah. Well, let's get a little bit more into this article. It does give a qualification to this highest state paid employee thing. The state is not actually liable for a lot of what they consider is guaranteed money to a coach. A lot of this guaranteed money comes from, as we said, endorsements, media appearances, apparel contracts, and fundraising. The state is only liable for this money if it's in their contract that they'll get this money and they don't get it from revenue from these other sources. That's the only time that the state has to pay for this. Otherwise, that money goes to the coaches from other things. And then that would mean that the state isn't actually paying them for whatever the salary is. So in that case, if you look at it, Virginia Tech's football coach actually makes less than their offensive coordinator does on just a state-based salary, according to the article. And then another thing that they don't include on this chart, no bonuses were included for any of the coaches. So now, like, maybe the Florida coach, Will Muschamp, maybe his bonuses are more than Billy Donovan's salary. So there's a lot of skewed
and there's
things.
A lot of bonuses for these coaches who win conference and win national championships and different winning bonuses.
Yeah.
So those can skew these statistics a lot, too.
So you're really just seeing what someone wants to be. I get the feeling that this guy, whose name is Reuben Fisher Baum, he's a writer for Deadspin. I get the feeling that he's not much of a sports guy. I get the feeling that he's one of those, why are we putting so much money to sports? Why does sports matter kind of person?
Yeah. But also, when you look at just financially what it can do to the state's revenue overall, it's tremendous that you can pay someone $5 million and they bring in $100 million for revenue.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing he points out is that Texas made $103 million in revenue, like in the black, their football program did. And yet Mack Brown only led them to an 8-5 season.
And never played a game.
Yeah.
So you're not even considering the players that go on the field also.
Yeah. So
which
should
you're
that
only paying scholarship money to, or supposedly only.
So should that money really, like, should we really be crediting that to the coach that they're making that much money? Or should it be like the marketing department and the AD or like what Josh Jorgensen does, you know?
I mean, you're only going to make money based off your success. I mean,
Yeah,
Texas does make $100 million, but they've had recent success.
Yeah.
And now they're in a downward spiral. You'll start to see people kind of, I mean, I'm sure A&M makes a ton of money now that they're in the SEC.
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
I could see them surpassing Texas anytime now. But you got to give credit to the coach, because a coach is a brand too. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Krzyzewski is a basketball coach, is a brand, and at Alabama,
Nick Saban
is a brand. Yeah. It's kind of a following of the coach more or less than a following of the team.
And you really are. You're absolutely right. With the takeover of the SEC, it wouldn't surprise me at all if A&M took those honors over.
And that's surely based off success.
Especially with Mack Brown potentially losing his job in the next few years, mm-hmm. and them starting over with a new coach. They're not going to pay him what they're paying Mack Brown right now.
For sure.
Not at all.
They're going to pay
the
him
new guy
much,
will make much less money.
And maybe once he wins a national championship,
unless they were to bring
bonus.
In someone like a Nick Saban,
right,
or bring
or
someone
Miles
down like
or,
a Pete Carroll from the NFL and bring them down, that they were like, okay, we're going to be good now. We're going to get the top guy that we can get. I don't see Texas doing that, but that's the only way you would see them paying equal money to a different coach.
I agree. Well, guys, let's end the topic today. Are you guys okay with this? That's the real question.
I am, because of how beneficial the football program is mm-hmm. to the schools. I think we're kind of seeing that with sports taking over in our country, and how important sports is to our country. And I'm okay with it as long as it's helping the program succeed. And if they're willing to pay a coach that much to ensure that success of their program and to ensure their school's success, then I'm fine with it.
I'm okay with it, because I just from an economic standpoint, I think it's more than anything we have now, what it can do to help revenues in different cities, because this is not just going to the University of Texas. This goes throughout the revenues they can produce and just sheer entertainment that they produce. Without sports, wouldn't have as much entertainment, wouldn't have the same collection of revenues that we can get from these top programs. But also the activities it gives the students to do at the different universities. Just, for example, here, without sports, there would not be much to do here. Without sports, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing right now. So, sports give a lot more than they take.
Yeah. Well, that's about going to do it for us in this first segment. Make sure you stay tuned. We're going to talk Rangers next. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Donating your car is as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, call our toll-free number to arrange a convenient time to pick it up. 2, give our driver the signed title and he'll give you a receipt. And 3, when it sells, we'll send you your tax receipt. See, it really is that easy. Just call 855-KETR-123 to get the process started today. Our representative will walk you through the details. Call 855-KETR-123 today.
All right, welcome back. This is KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, Ryan Billups. All right, earlier in the show, we talked about everything that's going on with state employees, coaches being paid the most, yada, yada, yada. Of course, you listen to the show. You know what's going on. So now we're going to get into the Rangers. And first, we're going to talk a topic that's just slightly associated with the Rangers. The Oakland A's had kind of a controversial thing going on with them on Wednesday night. They were playing the Cleveland Indians in Cleveland. The Tribe was up 4-3 with two outs in the top of the ninth. Adam Rosales was up to the plate batting for the A's, and it was a 1-1 count, as I said, with two outs in the top of the ninth. Now, Adam Rosales hit the ball on a 1-1 count, and it initially looked like it was a double, looked like it bounced off near the top of the wall and landed on the field. But then they showed a replay a few times, and people were starting to say, hey, you know what, that could have been a home run, let's watch the replay. And so the umps are sent underground into this little chamber that they watch the replay on, whatever. And I'm very glad that they've added that. That's a really good aspect of baseball. But as they were doing that, the replays got better and more digitally assisted by the production crew for the Oakland A's broadcast. And they easily saw that it was guaranteed to be a home run. Like it hit the top of the guardrail on top of the wall. And now in baseball, the rule is if a ball hits the top of a wall, like lands on top of it and bounces back onto the field, it's an automatic home run. Now this hit the guardrail on top of the wall, so that's yes. got to be a home run. But the umps came out and said it was a double.
It was inconclusive evidence.
Yeah, they said it was inconclusive, so it was a double. And then the A's lost the game. Now, you can't necessarily say that they would have ended up winning the game even if they had got the home run call.
But they surely would have gone to extra innings.
Yeah, they would have gone to extra innings. Now, one reason this is such a big deal is because it made the A's drop down to 3.5 games behind the Rangers, and then they lost also Thursday morning, which put them 4 games behind the Rangers because the Rangers don't play until tonight.
Must have been some Texas umps.
Yeah, maybe. But so there's been a whole bunch of to-do about it, and MLB came out, and Joe Torre, who, as we all know, used to be the manager for the Yankees, is now a higher up in baseball, is in charge of the umps, and is ruling committee for that. He said the umps made the wrong call, but there's nothing we can do about it. He's not going to change it now. So there's been a lot of talk about, well, why do you think the umps missed the call? What did they do wrong? How can we fix this? How can we make replay better? And something we've already talked about that they've been suggesting is that refs should have a replay ump that's sitting up in a booth.
That is strictly there for replay purposes.
That replays every play, that has the biggest and best HDTV you can have, and has the best shot you can have, sees all the angles, because a lot of the umps have been complaining that they only see 2 or 3 shots because they're forced to rush in there. That doesn't give the TV crew a lot of time to sync up the replays, and they just can't see it. So they're having to go off of 2 or 3 shots, and it took even the broadcast crew just to get it onto TV, which is always faster than the replay.
Definitely.
For the umps. It took them a minute and, I think, 39 seconds to get the actual replay that the broadcast crew said, okay, that's a home run.
And the umpires are trying to progress with the game. They don't want the big stall in the game. And that's a complaint we've seen in basketball, too. We've seen these breaks towards the end of who the ball went out on.
They take
and you're waiting
monitor.
For a minute and 30 seconds, and teams are getting extra timeouts.
Yeah.
In baseball, it works a little differently because you don't really need timeouts like
that. But
you
on
do.
A call like that, you have to get it right.
You have to, because baseball, that's critical. Mm-hmm. Like
one run is huge.
One
in
run
baseball.
Is huge in baseball. That could win you a game. It does win you games. And to not get the call right, I mean, Bob Melvin was furious, the manager of the Oakland A's.
Understandably, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so what's going on here is they think that this is going to lead to, in 2014, there being an actual replay ump that sits in a booth that has a big TV, and all he does is watch it every single game, every single play, whatever's going on. Now, right now, it's only going to be for home runs and foul balls to see if it's fair or foul and to see if it's a home run. It won't be for base paths. It won't be for strikeouts. Now, I think maybe adding it for base paths, base running, to see if they were out on base, whatever, I think that's good for baseball. But I agree that it should never, ever, ever be replays for the strikeout zone. I think that should always be an ump.
There should always be a subjective part. You
got
to have
that.
A subjective part to every game. Mm-hmm. Or why don't we just get rid of refs completely?
Yeah, why don't we just have robots everywhere?
Robots out there.
A robot pitching.
And that's another thing I don't like about it being a call in base calling, because while that's so important, I still like the subjective calling of the refs there. But as far as foul balls, like balls in play, whether they're foul, fair, home runs, or whatnot, that's something that needs to be reviewed and needs to be gotten right, because that really does mess not just with the subjective part of the game, but it messes with the whole game, period, if we're getting those kind of calls wrong.
Absolutely.
All right, well, Taylor, you just got a breaking alert that you wanted to talk about. This has nothing to do with the Rangers, but it's
absolutely
pretty important.
Nothing, and really far from home.
Yeah.
But the number one highest grossing sports franchise in the world, whether we like it or not, is Manchester United in England.
And soccer,
and
or football,
soccer,
as they would say.
Sir Alex Ferguson, the manager of that team, who was the manager for 26 years, has stepped down, and now David Moyes will be the new manager of Manchester United. He is from the Everton, the club Everton, and he'll be moving over there to now coach Manchester United. So surely they'll still be the highest grossing sports franchise in the world, but it'll be interesting to see if they can keep the same level of success and how successful Alex Ferguson was all those years.
Quick question on that. Do you think if the Cowboys won the Super Bowl in the next 10 years, do you think they could catch Man U?
It would be very tough because, like we've talked about before, the highest grossing ones are Cowboys, Yankees, Manchester United, Manchester City, sports franchises like that. The difference is in the United States, there's so many different sports and so many different teams and supporters, whereas in England, soccer's it.
Yeah.
Football is it. And, well, they're football.
Yeah.
And
football.
Exactly. And but that's all they go for, and that's all they cheer for. And Manchester United is easily the most successful franchise out of all of them, winning championships. It would be ridiculous. This is like, if you think about it, it's like the Cowboys winning every other year. Mm-hmm. Or winning 2 years, losing 1 year, and then winning 3 years in a row. It's just crazy the success level they've had.
Yeah.
And we could get into the whole economic discussion of how they don't have salary caps and whatnot on their football clubs. But just so you know, this is big news over there. It may not be big news here.
Yeah.
But like you said, I don't see the Cowboys, if they won three Super Bowls, ever being able to catch this franchise.
Right. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get back to the Rangers. Enough of a rabbit trail chasing there. Wednesday night, the Rangers got back in the win column. They won against Milwaukee, who's, by the way, not one of my favorite teams, but one of my favorite stadiums to go to. I've been to the Brewers Stadium several times. Beautiful park. Great place to go, but that's beside the point. The Rangers won 4-1 behind another strong performance from Derek Holland, who's really had a rebound season this year. He has. He's
and we
now,
need him to do that.
Yeah,
for us
we
to be
need
successful.
Him to be good. He's now 3-2. He had 6 strikeouts, no walks, and no home runs. Only allowed one run to score in that game. So really good performance from him. And that's a contrast to the next two pitchers I'm going to talk about, that we're going to talk about. Justin Grimm and Nick Tepish have both lost their last, at least their last two starts. Now, what do you guys think's going on with them? They had beautiful starts of the year. Both of them were undefeated in their performances before these last two or three starts, and now they're kind of just crapping on themselves.
Well,
on the field.
Like I said earlier in the year when we first started baseball talk, and I'll say it again at the end. It's a roller coaster. It's up and down. And like Darren Holland's coming up now. Now we have Nick Tepish and Justin Grimm going downhill a little bit. But hopefully we can always have someone at the top so that we can maintain a lead.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we don't just all drop off.
Right. It'd be nice if one of them could pick it up. But good news, Colby Lewis is pitching at Round Rock this week.
Very good.
The next couple of days he'll be pitching at Round Rock. So we're seeing his improvements, and he's ahead of schedule. So can't wait to see him back on the major league level. Also, Yu Darvish, still our best pitcher. Him and Derek Cohen really are pretty neck and neck with their numbers outside of strikeouts.
And wins.
Right, which Derek hadn't got a lot of help. But
yeah,
Darvish has 72 strikeouts on the season already, which is really awesome. Ogando's pretty far, is the next closest one. He's pretty far behind him. So
yeah. Well,
we're still second in ERA, so as long as we're maintaining high-level statistics, I mean, baseball, as we all know, is just a numbers game, and
you can
know the teams by averages and statistics, and you would know who's in first place if you just looked at those.
Right. Yeah.
So as long as we can keep those averages high, I think we'll be doing all right.
I've actually been very impressed with Robbie Ross and Tanner Shepherds this year. Robbie Ross was a guy who I didn't know if he'd be able to keep up what he did last year, being a young guy. No one expected him to make the ball club. Kind of a hometown favorite now. He's been able to keep it up. He has a .61 ERA for the season.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost a game. Very, very impressed with him so far. And Tanner Shepherds as well. He was someone that I did not. He has a .53 ERA.
And he wasn't very good last year.
And Tanner Shepherds has 2 wins on the season, whether it be luck or not. And he's a guy who wasn't that great last year. So
Right.
Great to see those two guys coming out of the pen and really really doing awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we don't have much time left in the show. I just want to ask you guys real quick about Grimm and Tepish. Do you think the lineup should be changed so that they aren't pitching back-to-back anymore? They're both rookies. Do you think that would take some of the pressure off maybe or do something mentally?
I don't think it's fast enough to kind of freak out and change what our pitching sequence is, but
I think we got to give him a shot. We got to let him bounce back.
That's what I'm saying. Let him bounce back. Don't freak out, because then you'll crush their confidence a little bit if we start, oh, we need to change
and
something.
And Ron Washington is the best at sticking with his guys.
That's very true.
He will let a guy lose six games in a row before he'll
And it gives so much confidence to your young players to know that the coach has your back and that he's not just waiting for you to mess up.
Honestly, I would wait for Colby Lewis to come back and then make your decision on which one of those guys is going to be bumped down.
Right.
I think both have a shot at staying on the roster, whether it be moving one of them to the pen.
Yeah.
But I would wait for Colby Lewis to come back and kind of reassess the situation at that point.
Definitely.
However, one last thing, I got to give props to Jeff Baker, right fielder for our team, has been playing absolutely outstanding.
Right.
Batting .333, incredible on-base percentage, .436, highest on our team. Just playing really awesome. Hopefully he can keep that up. And, you know, if Cruz does end up going out or anybody else, he'll be a great fill-in.
Right. Well, let's just end the show with a summary of what the Rangers are looking forward to tonight when they take on the Astros in Houston. Now, the Rangers are facing them for, I think, the third time in the season. This is their third series against them. It starts at 7:10 tonight. Gondo is pitching for us. He's 3-2 with a 3.08 ERA, and he faces Dallas, I think, Kuchel. I think that's how you say his name. This is his first start this season, even though he's 0-1. He lost a hold opportunity, which means he pitched between the 7th and 8th innings and lost the game for the Astros there. Anyway, he's an 0-1 so far this season. It's his first start, and he has a 4.96 ERA. Career, he has a 5.3 or 4 or something. Now, the biggest thing to note, and I think the biggest plus for the Rangers, is so far this season, the Astros are averaging 10 strikeouts a game, by far the worst in baseball. The next closest, if we do, I don't remember what the average was, but like the Astros have 343 over the season and they've played 34 games. The next closest team has 290 and they've played the same amount. Now, I'm not very good at math, so you can figure out whatever the average is. But the strikeouts for the Astros have just been terrible, and they've not even been facing necessarily good pitchers. So I think it's going to be really good for the Rangers and maybe move the pitching order around and try to get Grimm and Tepish in there to pitch to them, build up their confidence again. Yeah. But whatever happens, it's going to be a good series for the Rangers, hopefully. All right, that's about going to do it for us on this Friday show. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Taylor Phelps.
I'm Ryan Billups.
We'll see you on Tuesday. This is KETR's Locker Room.